Welcome to Saddle Up Live, a transformative podcast tailored for women aged 40 and beyond, where courage, God's grace, and a touch of sass are the driving forces behind conquering life's challenges. Join me, Lisa Koski, as I take you on a captivating ride through the multifaceted aspects of womanhood in this vibrant stage of life. We are covering everything from my journey through breast cancer, the intricacies of marriage and the joys of motherhood, to the exciting adventures of grandparenting. In each episode, we saddle up for candid conversations about God, health, relationships, family dynamics, and the beautiful chaos that comes along the way. But here's the twist. Saddle Up Live goes beyond navigating the highs and lows of life. It's a platform dedicated to sharing what we have learned along the way. I want to help women thrive through it all. Together, we'll uncover actionable strategies for personal and professional development, providing you with the tools and inspiration needed to blaze new trails and seize every opportunity that comes your way. Moreover, we are committed to helping you suffer less and live more fully. Through our discussions on God, health, wellness, and mindfulness, we explore practical techniques for managing stress, cultivating resilience, and embracing a holistic approach to self-care. So whether you're looking for practical advice, heartfelt stories, or simply a supportive community of like-minded women, saddle up and join us on this exhilarating ride. Because at Saddle Up Live, we believe every woman deserves to thrive, flourish, and live her best life, no matter her age or stage. Welcome, listeners. I am so thrilled to have everyone here today, and I'm especially feeling blessed that I have Sharon Pope with me. Sharon was on Doing Divorce Different before I knew I was going to do all this crazy stuff with Saddle Up Live, talking about relationships, and she is an author, a coach. She's all over social media. I told Sharon before, my husband saw you on TikTok and said, you got to have this lady on your podcast. So I love that. And I'm so excited that today we're going to talk about marriage, because I've spent so much time talking about divorce. And Sharon, I want you to know, you're kind of my first for real guest, because I have had a coach on, but it was before I knew I was taking this Saddle Up Live, you know, to a new level and doing its own podcast. And before I knew that I had a cancer diagnosis, which there's going to be an episode that I'm dropping before this one airs. So go back and listen to it. That gives you all the information about how my life changed. But this is what I need you to know is early detection. It didn't spread. I've already had surgery. My surgeon did an amazing, I'm so blessed. I had it like on the 5th, Friday, the 5th of this month. And didn't go to my lymph nodes, was smaller than they thought, all like amazing good stuff. So get your darn mammograms every year, because that saved me. I have the most amazing outcome. That doesn't mean I haven't gone through scary, and I still have stuff to come because of the type that what's feeding it. They know how to get it so it never comes back. So it's gone. I don't have it right now, but I have to do chemo. So I'm going to be doing these while I'm going through that. And fortunately, because my pathology was so good, I won't be on like the tiger killer chemo. I'll be on a little bit lower. They're like, hey, we think you'll even keep your hair. So I'm planning on doing these through it. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it's a step that I need to do. So I know how people are going through cancer and hard things, from the perspective that I have a really good outcome and it was caught early and it didn't spread anywhere. I don't know the other side of it, but that's kind of where my life is leading me. You know, it's funny, the Saddle Up Live came to me because and you were part of that, because I didn't really want to talk about divorce. I wanted to talk about being a grandma and wellness and building a business. And then I'm like, oh, and here's another one. I can talk about this. So I can share my journey. And I think part of that, I'm going to, in my YouTube channel that's coming out, I'll be talking about what not to say to someone who's been, has a new diagnosis.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, yeah, I can say that. Yeah. I'm still kind of muddling along with, I don't know if I have a lot of handy advice because I don't know that I've handled this really well. But as time goes on, you know, I can help people with that. But yeah. I feel extremely blessed for all those reasons and blessed that you're here. So now if we can kind of get in. So I just want to read this off of your website. Sharon helps strong and successful women struggling in lonely and disconnected marriages get the confidence and clarity they need to either fix their marriage or move forward without regret. So listeners, if you need help making that decision, go to Sharon's website. She's got tools to help you. She's got books to help you. But today I told Sharon, I want to talk about three things. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about, and I learned this through a kid that I was kind of, I learned how to just love her and not try to change her and how that like was amazing and fixed our relationship. And I would started thinking, well, maybe we could do that with our hubbies too. So I want to talk about just loving someone and how that can sometimes fix things. I also want to talk about something because it's really interesting how this has affected my marriage, what going through something hard, and how I realize how we're often not honest with ourselves about how we're feeling or with our spouse. And sometimes if you could just break down and be vulnerable, they would get it and see it and be able to respond. So I want to talk about that.
Yep.
Then the third thing I want to talk about is how something hard, like a cancer diagnosis or some health issue, how that can affect your marriage in a weird way. Like you just assume, oh, it's going to be like, you're going to be together and it's going to be rainbows and butterflies. But I haven't found that to be true. So those are the three things I want to talk about. So welcome, Sharon.
I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to this. You've certainly been through a lot since last time we spoke.
Yeah.
And that wasn't that long ago.
I know it has been a lot. And I don't want to waste what I've learned. So that's why I'm sitting here with you.
Awesome. Let's do it.
Okay. So the first thing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, I told you I had a kiddo and I was trying to fix her and change her and someone said, all you got to do is love her.
That's it.
And it changed our lives. Mm-hmm. For the better, because that was all she needed. That's all we need, right?
Right.
So then I thought, well, maybe I should do that with my husband. And we kind of have been. I've been dropping love bomb texts on him.
I love that.
I know. So let's talk about, and sometimes it's hard. I mean, if I feel like he's being mean or nasty, whew, that's hard to love him.
Yes. Yes. I think you bring up a really interesting topic, which is, you know, why are we so generous in loving our kids and we pull back on a lot of that generosity when it comes to our spouse?
Why?
So we know we have it in us to love, but for some reason that makes sense in our minds that we should love them and we shouldn't try to change them and we shouldn't you know, always be criticizing them. Like we get all that as a parent or as a grandparent, like we get all that and we make sense of that. But when it comes to our spouses, it's like, nope, that's completely different. We're not going to love. We're going to focus more on being loved.
Yes.
We're focused on them pointing their love at us in the way we want to experience their love. And we get sort of like bothered by like, yeah, but I'm not going to talk about like, am I loving? Am I actively loving them? And am I actively not criticizing them? Am I focusing on what I really genuinely value and appreciate? Or am I focusing on this shit that drives me crazy?
Right.
There's that in everybody, by the way. There are things that will drive you crazy in every single person. Yeah. There's no person on the planet that's not going to rub you at some point.
Yeah.
I used to say, well, and I'll say it now in the context of, I'm thinking of one of my, so I have two grandbabies, a third one on the way.
Me too. Exactly the same.
And I have three great nieces who call me Yeah Yeah, who I treat like grandchildren because their mother was the closest thing. She's my niece and she's the closest thing I ever had to a child because I never had children myself. Mm-hmm. So one of her daughters, her first one, who's now going to be four, like, so they're all young. And she, I mean, she is so freaking easy to love.
Yeah.
She is not even four yet. She's potty trained. She counts to 100. She loves Paw Patrol. She is feisty and strong-willed as the first child can be, you know, mm-hmm. And she's funny and clever and just a joy. And I'm like, why can't everyone just be that easy to love?
Yeah. Hey,
it would make it so much easier if everyone was that easy, but yep. They're not, right? And yeah. So isn't that when we're called to really step up and be the one who loves, even when people are difficult to love? Like when a child is throwing a temper tantrum, like sometimes they're difficult mm-hmm. to love in that moment, you know, but we yep. still do it. So we know we can.
You know, and that's such a great point. And it's so amazing. And you think about your grandchildren, especially, mm-hmm. I think. My kids are really easy to love. My grandchildren, are you kidding me? You can scream out your lungs out. And I think my grandson had a little bit of a issue at a store and he was screaming. And then I think he was picking his nose, you know, he's three. And I'm like, you know what, Ollie, I still love you. And I think you're great. I'm in the middle of a store and he's yes. just screaming like, I don't care. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. Grandparents were like, you can do no wrong in my eyes. There's nothing. You're perfect.
And you know, Sharon, I can't help but thinking, because I, through this journey, I have read the Bible a ton. I have prayed a ton. And I just, like, when I can't help it, when I think of how Jesus loves, and I'm just like, that's what I want. Like, and what a gift. Like, my grandson, I mean, I think he loves me, but I don't even care. I just love him. And how good that feels.
Yes.
It's just love. That's almost more rewarding than being loved. Even though we think we want to be loved all the time, the loving is what's so amazing.
That you just said, I think you just hit the nail on the head. If we will do it, if we will love someone sort of unconditionally, like we do children, like grandbabies.
Yes.
We will love them that unconditionally. And if you do it from a selfish place of, it feels good to do it.
Yeah.
Because loving will always feel better than hating. Loving will always feel better than judging or criticizing. And so we've got to get more, like, maybe that's the motivator of, if we can get more focused on, I want to feel as good as I can feel as I move through this short journey called life.
Yep.
And if I just choose to love people, I will feel better a higher percentage of the time. But if I'm looking around for what's wrong with them and why they don't deserve my love, or criticizing or judging or any of that, like, then you're going to spend a lot more of your time in a more negative emotional place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's so interesting, because as I talk to you, I mean, I'm not a young woman. This is so freaking easy. Like, why would I have not thought? I mean, like, it takes practice when you start doing it. But it is easy. It's simple. Mm-hmm. It's so darn simple. And it's so, listeners, it's one thing you're in control of that you can do right now to make your life better, to make your relationship better. Just love people. And I mean it for everyone.
For just love them.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. It's not your job to do anything otherwise.
No.
It's not your job to judge them. It's not your job to fix them.
Yep.
It's just your job to love them. Yep. And it's not that hard. You know, and actually, it's an interesting thing. Like, I could go real deep here, but we can go there for a second. You know, as mothers and grandmothers and parents and all that, right? We can love children unconditionally. And then children grow to know that there's someone on this planet that will love them unconditionally, that will tell them that they're perfect, no matter if they're screaming, carrying on, and that will anticipate their needs and make their life better. Like, when children have problems, we try to fix the problems for them. We try to smooth out the rough edges of their lives so that they can have a good life. And that's what creates this romantic idea of how love should be.
Yeah.
Is that my partner is going to anticipate my needs.
Right.
They're going to think I'm perfect no matter what I do, even when I'm being really difficult to love, which of course I will be. Just ask my husband. that they will make they'll smooth out those rough edges. Like when you're talking about like getting a cancer diagnosis, I bet that there were days when you're like, you're looking to him, you're not saying those words, but you're like, just make it better.
Yeah.
And like, you might be like getting short tempered with him or something where, cause you're looking to him, like, why can't you just make this better? Why can't you make this go away? Why can't you fix this? Why, what?
Well, and Sharon, let's just jump. We're going to skip that middle one for right now. And let's jump to that cancer thing, because interestingly enough, this is what kind of made it hard. Well, we were going through kind of something sticky anyway, unrelated. Mm-hmm. And then I felt like, I mean, what the hell? Like, I don't have, like, people send you, we're on your team. We've got you. I'm not like, and some people might need that. I'm like, you're not freaking on my team. This is me and this. I mean, that's kind of how I was. It's like, yeah. You're not really, this is something I'm facing alone. No matter how much you want to support me and help me. And I think that I honestly told my husband that, and I think he felt so lost because he didn't know what to do. Cause I'm like, I mean, yeah, you can say what you want, but this is my thing.
Yes. Well, and think about that from, I love it. Think about that from a male perspective too. Like, cause the men's role oftentimes what they view and what they've been brought up to view is that they are the fixer. They're the problem solver. They're the provider and the protector. So if I can't protect her from this and I can't help her and I can't solve this problem, then she really is in this alone. And so what the heck is my role? And now I feel hopeless, and I feel maybe hopeless, maybe a little, not useful.
Yeah.
Well, not knowing how to help.
Yeah. And it was interesting too, because so there are people who have had even a little bit. I mean, I have such a good diagnosis. I have such a good prognosis from the beginning because it was detected early. And I would talk to people and they were like, oh, I feel like I'm blessed. I'm a lucky one. And they had bigger tumors than me, but because it was one that they could deal with. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, I never broke down. I'm like, I was like in a ball. I am not good at this. I mean, I get nervous when you take my blood pressure.
You're not good at cancer. You're not good at having cancer.
No, I'm not good at health stuff. That's why I think I'm such a health nut. You know, I get scared to get my blood pressure taken. Mm-hmm. And I have a daughter that's a doctor. So she was like, oh God, mom, like, help me. Like, you know, can you give me some information? No.
No.
It was so crazy. But so my husband was a little bit like, that's all going to be fine. I mean, you know, we got to do some stuff. It's all going to, which is true. And yet I was like, still scared because that's who I am. And that's my stuff. So then I would kind of be like, and it's funny, Sharon, because no one can do anything, right? Then I saw my best friend, we had to go to the bra store, and I didn't know then if I was going to keep my nipple or not.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and so we're there and my best friend walks up to me and starts bawling. And I'm like, well, frickin' A, I'm not dying. Like, don't cry. You know, it's, I don't know what I wanted. Don't feel sorry for me. Yep. And don't not feel.
Lisa, this is so interesting that you bring this up, because so there's a friend of mine who was at my house Monday of this week, and her husband is going through, he's more than halfway through his chemo treatment. He has thyroid cancer.
Okay.
And she said, you know, he hurt my feelings. And I said, well, what happened? And she said, well, yesterday, you know, I was trying to tell him you should do this and you should eat that, or you should, you know, she was trying to tell him you should do these things to make yourself feel better. And he said, don't tell me what to do. You're not my mother. And she was like, you know, she was kind of taken aback by that. And so then she, you know, she sort of overlooked it because, you know, like, okay, he's going through a lot. And then today, or that day that she was here, she said, and then he just texted me and said, by the way, I'm doing okay today, in case you wondered, because she was like, well, let me just give him some space. Let me not tell him what to do. And then he's like, well, I'm okay, in case you're wondering, since you didn't check on me.
It's and like,
you can't get it right. Like, there's no, I'm trying to navigate this very narrow lane. Yeah. And I thought, and she did say, she goes, you know, I didn't say anything because I know he is in the thick of it right now. She goes, but you know, I wrote that down in my journal and we're going to have a conversation about that, because the only time you're able to talk to me like that is when you have cancer and you're going through chemo.
Right.
So, you know, I feel like there is that element of people don't really know what to do.
No.
And then sometimes it can feel like they can't do anything right.
Right.
So I genuinely, if I could, because I was thinking about this a little bit before we got on the call today, and I was thinking, you know, one of the things that I tell ladies to do, my clients are mostly ladies. I call them my ladies. One of the things that I tell them to do is that you should always have, like I call it the state of the union, kind of regular, consistent conversation. And I like starting that, like what I teach in my program is there's a daily, a weekly, and a monthly, and there's a very sort of pragmatic approach to each of them. Mm-hmm. But at least if you do one weekly, 30 minutes mm-hmm. of you and your partner coming together and say, you know what, where did you and I crush it last week? Where did each of us win last week? Mm-hmm. Where could we as a couple, like where did we get a little uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. And where could we do better? And when you just have some forum to be able to talk yes. about that, then you don't have to overlook things like this person, this friend of mine did, like, oh, she can't say anything because he's going through it. She doesn't want to have like a, we need to talk conversation. And now I need to tell you how you need to speak nicer right. to me. She doesn't have to do all that. It's like, you know what? Like my husband and I, we do it on Sunday. So Sundays, that's the forum. So if something happens on Tuesday, I have now a parking lot, a place where, yeah. you know, when you did that or when you said that, it made me feel blah, blah, blah. But sometimes I get to Sunday and I'm like, yeah, that wasn't even really a thing. I was just in my feelings and,
right.
you know, and it's not a thing now. And I don't right. even have to bring it up.
Okay. So I love that you're bringing this up, Sharon, because it brings us to that middle piece that mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Totally just walked right into that because, yeah, thank you. Because I was thinking about this before, like, why is it that we put that wall up and don't share what we really feel? And so I think what my husband and I are learning is, or like even with my good friend, you know, I think I did say, oh my gosh, don't feel sorry for me. Like, look at all these good, you know what I mean? Like, saying how I feel. And here's the thing, when you're going through something hard, how I feel that moment might change. All right, well, feel sorry for me. I mean, I know I have a really good future, but damn it, I don't want to do this, you know?
Yeah. And so maybe,
just say what you feel. And it's hard because you're judging it and I don't know why we will not be vulnerable to be real, because that's what saves you.
I can tell you.
Well, good, because I don't know.
It's the ego. It's our ego.
Is it the ego?
It's the ego. Like the ego wants to protect us. And yeah. so vulnerability feels very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. It feels, it doesn't feel protected. It doesn't feel safe. It feels like sort of like opening your kimono, standing on a table naked. Like so it doesn't feel safe. And the ego wants to feel safe. And so it's going to tell half-truths.
And it messes everything up.
It messes everything up.
Like,
really,
honest
does.
To God, like if your friend's husband could have been like, you saying that, this is how it made me feel. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going through something hard and I appreciate that you want to help me.
Yeah.
But this is hard and I don't want to be told that right now.
Right. Or this is hard, or I'm scared to death right now.
Right.
And I don't know how this is going to turn out. And I'm afraid how it's going to affect your life.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be more loving, but right now I'm mad as hell that this has happened to me. Like, what if he said that?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, I get that I'm taking it out on you. You know how, so I talk to parenting coaches once in a while mm-hmm. and they always say that you're the child's safe space to be their worst selves because they know that
yes.
you always love them. And I think if we looked at some of these moments as those same, through that same kind of lens,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're back to loving people like we love children.
Yes.
We love our best yes. when we love children. But if we're able, what was I talking about? Oh, I just lost my train of thought.
Oh, no, that's okay. So you.
When we, shoot.
That's all right, honey.
We'll come back to it. But
you were talking about if we could give them a safe place.
Oh yeah, yeah. So the safe place. So when we bring our ugly to the relationship, which inevitably we will, then what if we looked at that as, well, that's because I'm his safe place or I'm her safe place.
Yes.
That they know, he or she knows that they can say something crappy to me because they're in a bad place, mm-hmm. and I'm still going to love them.
Yep.
And so I can use that as like she's never going to look at that scenario as like, oh, that was a compliment, but she could see it through a softer lens of he's saying that to me because he would never say it to our daughter.
Right.
He would never say it to the doctor.
And that's kind of using that empathy skill too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Like you get to choose how you frame it and how you think about it. Because mm-hmm. when you're sick, you're not at your best. To right. expect someone to be at their best when they're sick and or when they're in a great deal of fear. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I think that doesn't get expressed enough because the ego will stop us from doing it is just saying, I'm scared right now mm-hmm. and I need to be held. And then 30 minutes later, get away from me. I'm fine. Stop doting on me.
Right. Like,
but you're right. If we would just say what's true, say what's real, speak from the heart, it yep. would sort of get rid of the clutter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And break through some things, you know?
And maybe save your marriage, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which I would love. Mm-hmm. I like keeping people together as much mm-hmm. as I can.
You know, the other reason why we don't say what's real and what's true is because we're trying to spare someone else's feelings.
Yes. And right? you know, that's interesting. I think I'm kind of past that. Mm. You know, I think I am, which is interesting. And I think it's been really healing because, and like I said, I don't have the dire consequences, but it's still hard. Yeah. And I think I would maybe, and you talked about how we're a safe place for our kids, how we want to make their lives better. But what I've maybe done too much of that, where I wanted to fix everything for my yeah. children in their lives. And I've had the most honest, raw conversations with my children, real conversations, and just being like, I can't take this away. Yeah. This is here. I've got to deal with, I mean, it's gone now, but I got to deal with keeping it away. Got to yeah. deal with the treatment. And the fact that it happened, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
And it's given me the opportunity to let them deal with it.
Mm-hmm. That you can't fix this for them, then that they're mm-hmm. going to have to deal with it.
Yep.
It's actually one of the reasons why I tell parents, not like I'm a parenting coach, like I've never had my own children and I'm no expert mm-hmm. in this area, but I do know human psychology and human behavior. And I just always think, you know, no one gets out of life unscathed. Life is going to throw stuff at us. And as parents, aren't we supposed to prepare our children to be adults? But if we're always taking care of everything for them, like how do they learn that they're actually equipped? They can come through real difficult things and that they've got it. But if I'm always doing it for them, it's sort of that, you know, then it's like what they learn is that mom can do it.
Right.
Grandma can do it, but I can't do it because I haven't shown myself. I haven't proven that I can do that. And that's that sort of codependency that can even show up in relationships, you know, where we're trying to overdo for everyone else and protect their feelings and say it in a way that they won't get ruffled or whatever, but then we never speak what's true for us.
You know, and I think that's so interesting that you're saying that because that has been one thing that I've learned. And I'm glad you said it because I'm trying to glean what I've learned from this experience. Mm. And I had one of my really good friends say it this way. She goes, well, I kind of like this. I think this diagnosis has made you a little snippy snappy because I'm just going to tell you, you know, like people can do the strangest things, people that you love, can tell you about a friend who died from it. And you're like, and I just say, what? I don't want to hear that. Like, at what point is that helpful to me?
That's not helpful.
Not helpful at all. Yeah. You know, the circumstances were different. Like, I know all of that, but still it's like, that's not what I really want to focus on right now, but it's very mm-hmm. interesting. Mm-hmm. And so that's one gift that mm-hmm. I've gotten from going through this to be real with that. And so I'm looking at the time, and of course it went super fast with you, but I think we have like some really key pieces that can help people in their lives. And the first one is just freaking love.
Just love.
Feel for yourself.
Yeah, do it selfishly because you want to feel that energy of love. And my friends, even if you're struggling in your marriage, you can go out today and feel that energy of love. Go find a puppy. Go out in nature. Go find a child. Like go find
the grocery store clerk. Yeah.
Go find things, people, whatever that are easy to love. And you can be in that energy of love today.
Yep.
You could do it today. You don't have to wait for your husband to stand on his head and do the 28 things that you think he should do in order to receive your love. You can just get in that energy and start where it's easy.
Yep. Okay. So that's the one thing. And then the other thing is to just get over your ego, which I learned from you, and say what you really feel and what you need. And part of that is figuring out yourself. That's going to be so healing.
Yes.
Oh, I'm feeling this way. Sometimes we just think we shouldn't feel that way. So we try to jump through it. So I think like those two things can change your life.
Yes.
Greatly. And they're not that hard.
They're not that hard.
No.
And isn't it funny that like we didn't, you know, we didn't get training in this. Mm-mm. You know, what we got was what we saw growing up in terms of like how our parents, you know, related in their marriage. And we learned that that's normal. So whether that's good or bad and what you want or what you don't want, that's what we normalized. And then we also learned that that love means like, you're going to make things better and you're going to anticipate my needs and you're going to read my heart. You're going to read my mind. Yeah. I'm not going to have to say the truth. I'm not going to have to tell you the truth. You're going to just know. And that's when I really feel understood by you. And it's like, we've got to get better at just being more open, expressing ourselves, how we're feeling and what we need. And you know what? If you have trouble with that, think about it through the lens of people who love me want to know the real me. But if I never express my true feelings and I pretend to be the woman that has no needs, like I'm here for you, whatever you need.
Yes.
Then do the people that love me ever really know who I am?
Mm-hmm. Oh, honey, I could talk to you for hours. That was my life. That was my life.
Yeah. And so now, you know, for better or worse, they're going to know more. They're going to know a deeper Lisa.
Yep.
And isn't that beautiful?
It's so beautiful. And this is such a gift. And I'm so glad that you were here, Sharon. Thank you so much. And listeners, go find her. We'll have all your information in the show notes, but Instagram, TikTok, I mean,
all the things, books,
all the good things. So thank you. I appreciate you. And this
I appreciate you. And thank you for having me on here. And I just send you so much love. I'm just loving you right now.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate it. I feel it. Take good care.
You too, honey.
Thank you for tuning in to another empowering episode of Saddle Up Live. As we conclude this exhilarating journey together, don't forget to subscribe, share your thoughts, and become a valued member of our vibrant community. Because, as always, every woman deserves to thrive, flourish, and live her best life. Until the next time, saddle up and keep conquering those trails.